Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldrith. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
Get your sermon notes out of your ministry guide and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. And again, if you're online with us, you'll find those notes online. As we take a moment to think about moms and women in general, I came across a story I thought was interesting. A man came home from work one day, and he found his children that were all outside. They were in various stages of dress, but all of them were muddy, playing in muddy puddles and just jumping around. And the door was open. The wife's car door was open, and the dog was missing. So he went in the house very quickly, and he was appalled by what he saw. Again, there were pajamas and there were clothes all over. There was mud all over the floor. There was all kinds of toys and stuff all over the furniture and the floors. He went into the kitchen, and the kitchen was covered with cereal and dog food on the floor, spilled all over. There were open cans, and the refrigerator door was standing open. And he thought, I don't know, I don't see my wife anywhere. And finally, he went upstairs, and he had to work his way getting up the stairs for all the toys and clothes and wet towels and everything that were on the stairs. And he got upstairs, and the bathroom was just like a hurricane had hit it. All of the soap was all over the floors. There was toothpaste smeared all over the mirrors. Towels and washcloths were all over the place. Finally, he headed toward their bedroom, and he got into the bedroom. As he walked in the door, his wife, laying in bed in her pajamas, reading a novel, looked up and said, "Hi, sweetheart. I'm glad you're home." And he looked at her and he said, "What happened here?" She said, "Well, you know how every day when you come home from work, the first thing you ask me is, I worked today. What did you do today?" She said, "Well, today I didn't do it." And so as we think about the home and everything that is there today, I want us to think about where we got our information about home life and family life, where some of it came from. For some of us, some of you, maybe you grew up in an era when there weren't a lot of sitcoms on television, and then in my generation there were sitcoms that were on, and so we learned a lot about family life through those sitcoms. We were those who in my lifetime had Ozzie and Harriet, that we had Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best, and some of you will remember those very well. And we watched how family life could be. Then when my children were born, those shows were no longer on. Instead, they were looking at the Brady Bunch and the Cosbys. And we found that in general, roles were pretty well defined. Gender roles were defined, and when how we need to live at home. And then when my grandkids came along, or just before they came along, unfortunately, we went to another direction, and we had things like the Simpsons and the Osbournes, which was anything but Leave It to Beaver. And to the Cosbys, it was maybe Father Knows Less and Leave It to Bonehead that that they were growing up with. And for those of you who were Aussie fans, surprisingly, he's still alive. He's not that much older. He's a couple years older than I am. But he just left on what supposedly is his last tour in February. He went on his last tour. After doing years and years of drugs, he used LSD every day for many years, smoking and drinking heavily every day, to the point of being almost dead, and then turned it around and said for a decade he didn't do any drugs and didn't drink anything, and then he decided, no, I'm going to go back to doing that again. And so, you know, amazingly, when their television show was on about a family life, they were the number one rated television show on the MTV that they were on. And you think, who in the world wants a guy who bites the head off of live bats in shows to be teaching their kids about what family life should be? And then I think about the fact that even today, I would not want to face some of the pressures of being a woman that you women have to face, no matter what age you are. Supermodels who star themselves, and you have those who are movie stars, and have professional makeup artists and all of the cosmetic surgery in the world that they think they need. And you have, on top of that, you have professional businesswomen who work long hours and yet volunteer for everything in the world and make you feel less than okay, that you can't do all of that. And so how do we take care of our families? Where do you find value? Where do you find your worth as a woman when those are the things that you have to deal with? But we find it in God's word. That's where we find the hope that we're going to need. In the Bible, we find full words of encouragement, which God has said, this is the value of a woman. This is what I have. The world puts you down, but God never does. He lifts you up. And I don't want you to forget that. It's so easy to get so wrapped up in culture that we forget that we have a God who pays attention to us, who knows where we're at, knows our capabilities, knows how he created us, and has a plan for our lives. And the world may expect the impossible, but God comes to you with grace and a heart that accepts you for all that you are. And so as we come to God's word this morning, let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for what you do in our lives and for the plan that you have for each one of us. And today I pray for each woman who is here and the men as well, but especially the women today, that as we think about your plan for them, that they would find encouragement, that we would all see that you are a loving, gracious God who has plans for all of our lives. So, Father, speak to us through your Spirit and through your word right now, for we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, women and moms, you are important to God. I don't want you to forget that. And I want to talk specifically about where God gives you and where you will find value in our world today. So three places a woman finds her value is what we're talking about today. A woman, first of all, finds her value, according to God, in the home. She finds her value in the home. Now, don't go crazy on me here. Don't get upset, because it's not what you think. Because in actual reality, the man's place is in the home as well. So I'm not saying that your only place is in the home. God is not saying that. He says to all of us, God's place is in the home, or there are places in the home. However, for a woman, that takes on a very special significance. And so the home is where a woman is able to nurture and be nurtured, to love and be loved, and to give encouragement. And it doesn't mean that the woman only has that place in her home, but as with men, it is her best place. And so whatever your home life may be, that is still your best place. That's how God intended it to be. Women are so much better nurturing than men are. Have you figured that out? You know, if our kids had to depend on us as guys to nurture them, they would be in big trouble. And they may not have even made it to adulthood for many of them. And home should be where men and women find their meaning, because that's the place where our most important and abiding relationships are. I don't know if you realize this, but God is all in on relationships. We have a relational God, and He loves relationships. He made us for relationships. And having a relationship with God is what it means to be a Christian. That's how you know that you're a believer. You have that relationship with Him. Religion is not about just doing religious-looking stuff. Religion in God's world is a personal one-on-one relationship. And He places His Spirit, He places His presence living within your heart. And so He said, this is about relationships. I want you to understand that relational relationship that I want with you, God says. So a relationship with God means that you are indeed a Christian. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens because you ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sin and to come into your heart and begin that relationship. But having a relationship with other people is what it means to be fully human. Having a relationship with other people means that you are now fully human. God created us for a relationship with Himself, but He also created us for a relationship with other human beings. In Proverbs chapter 31, verses 27 and 28, it says, she looks to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. If the home is where we learn to be with other people, it's important in several ways. When we are with other people, we learn to forgive other people, don't we? Because without exception, whoever you are living with needs forgiveness. We all need forgiveness every day. We need forgiveness from God, but we also need forgiveness from other people, people who are important in our lives. And so he says that we need to have that relationship to find that forgiveness. We also learn to extend grace to those who are difficult. I realize that you're not the difficult one in your relationship at home, but just in case you are, you need grace. We all need that kind of grace. We learn not only to extend grace, but we learn not to set unrealistic expectations of others. We all want things for our families. We want it for our kids. We want it for our spouse. We want it for our grandkids. We want them to do well, and so in the process of wanting them to do well, we can set a lot of unrealistic expectations. And so we learn to temper those expectations with the people that we love. And we also learn that love is more than a feeling. For those of you who are looking for love, you just think you're going to walk down the street and fall in a hole of love. I wasn't looking for it, but all of a sudden I just fell in a hole. And guess what? I found love. Doesn't work that way. It's not a feeling. There's no feeling associated with love in the Bible. The love that we have for people is a deep and abiding commitment to the outcomes of who they are. And so we love whether we feel like it or not. God never gives you the option of saying, well, if you feel like loving your family, love them. If you don't, it's okay. If you feel like loving your neighbor, it's okay. If you don't feel like loving them, you don't have to love them. God doesn't speak that way. God says, you just love. You just love. And never mentions feelings. Love is a choice. A feeling is not a choice. Love is always a choice. So a woman's place in the home is important, because she is to be the recipient of all these divine gifts that God gives to us, and then express them as human agents to her family members. And so God says, this is the place where you're going to find value. This is the place where I'm going to put you. And so a woman is to be shown appreciation. She is to be told of the value that she is to her husband and to her children, to her home. And that's what Mother's Day is about, but it shouldn't just be one day out of the year. This should be an everyday thing. And so if you have that opportunity to still express that appreciation to your mother, you need to be doing that on a regular basis. And I know that I can't imagine what I would be like if it were not for my wife, Barbara. She has been so significant in my life because of the home that she has provided for us, for myself and for our kids as they were growing up. I would be the most uncouth and unmannered person that you could imagine, and you probably think I am anyway, but I would be worse. I would be filing for bankruptcy a long time ago if it were not for her. The other day, I've got to share this story if you haven't heard it yet. When she had her last cataract surgery three weeks ago, she went in for the checkup, and they were saying, how well are you reading now? How can you see? Because the second one was for her reading lens. And she said, I can read the calendar on the back of my check register. I can't even see the back of the check register. And her doctor said, oh, wonderful, you can see that. He said, you have a check register? He said, I don't even think we have a checkbook. He said, I don't have, you really have a checkbook? And so we need somebody, and I need somebody in my life like that that keeps me out of bankruptcy. And she makes my life just work. We need each other. We need people in our lives. We need those people that God puts us in with in the home. And I am a different person because of her. And I appreciate her. And I should have listened to her more often, I'm sure. But it's been a wonderful ride with her. And we need that. And so in a home, she finds value, hopefully, and I find value because she is there. And so home is where ministry is. Ministry like you can't have anywhere else. We minister to each other. We minister to our children as we bring them up in a Christian faith, and we train them by the word and by example. Those who believe that God, what God says, only applies to what happens outside of the home, have missed God's point completely. God says, I place you in a home for a reason. I place you in a home because you're going to raise children. You're going to give all of those gifts to each other in that home. You're going to train your children up by word and by example. And so you need that home to be able to do that. And so God's greatest calling, both to men and to women, is to minister to the people in your home. To minister to them. It is the place we bind their emotional wounds. We lift up their sagging spirits. We allow people to be themselves. We show kindness when they've been beaten up by the world. We give smiles and hugs, and we listen and we try to understand. And so women, a woman's place is in many places, but her best and most important place is in the home. We need to have you in our homes. Secondly, not only does a woman find her value in the home, she finds her value in the world. You're going to find value in the world, ladies. Proverbs 31 describes for us and praises a woman who is truly a worldly woman. That doesn't mean she is sinful. That just means she lives in the world on purpose. She is a part of society. She is involved in what's going on around her. Now, this woman has her own business, and she takes her place in the marketplace. This woman is, in this description of Proverbs 31, dealing in real estate. She's helping those in need, and she provides for the needs of her family through her work, through her trade that she's involved with. The Bible ends this section describing her activity by saying in verses 30 and 31, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. You'd have to live through the time of the period of time that Solomon is writing about to really appreciate how radical and elevated this view of womanhood was. We talked about this to some extent in 1 Corinthians and a little bit in the book of Ruth recently, but a woman's place in society, in the world, was very different than what was described here in Proverbs 31. In fact, the surrounding cultures didn't give a woman a place of dignity and honor as nearly as much as the Hebrew culture did in that time frame. The whole point of the story of Adam and Eve is that the man by himself was inadequate in the world. He said, there's something that is missing. He needed someone, not just someone to do his work and to meet his needs, but a full partner without whom he couldn't survive. And so he made Eve the first woman to be his wife. And his life would not have been nearly so rich otherwise. Just imagine, if you can, a world where there were only men. And you don't even have to go there because you know what it would be like. It's interesting that the thing about television sitcoms is that men get to be, they're literally irresponsible slobs, almost completely. Very seldom is there a TV family where the man has any amount of realism anymore. They're depicted as slobs, and they're not expected to change anything about that. While women have to keep themselves attractive, they have to all the while by being the brains of the house, because they have to take the responsibility of making sure the family functions. She makes ends meet even when they don't seem to be able to do that. She makes excuses for her husband and takes up the slack when he's not doing his part. And that happens. What happens? A man has not married a wife when that happens. He has just changed mothers. I need someone to take care of me and fix all of my issues. That's a mother's job, not a wife's job. But that's what our society says a family should be. That's what we have depicted for us. There's a vital relationship truth I want you to know this morning. It is simply this: men need women. Ladies, we need you. Men need women in their lives, but women are not able to live up to their full value when they're merely servants instead of full partners. God never created a woman to be a servant of a man, but to be a full partner of the man. Our world says that's wrong. God says it's right. According to the United Nations statistics from a few years ago, women constitute over 50% of the world's population. It always stays pretty close to 50-50, but women always have a little more than men, partly because you outlive us on a regular basis. Not only that, women do 3/4 of the world's work. They receive 1/10 of the world's salaries, and they own 1/100 of the world's land. Women are major players keeping the world going, but they get less and less of a share of the compensation that goes on. And yet they keep doing that because they're not doing it for the sake of the monetary reward. They do it out of satisfaction, out of satisfaction for being responsible, even though they're never going to get their fair share, it wouldn't seem. In the world that we live in, life is not always fair to women. One bumper sticker said, "Real women don't have hot flashes, they just have power surges." Us guys don't understand any of that, but we think that must be true. Women find value in the home, and they find value in the world, but there's one other place where God lets them find value. Women also find value in the church. You're going to find value in the church. We all know that the church really would not exist without women who do so much of the work of the church. Guys, all you have to do is look around of what's getting done and who's doing it, and more likely than not, there's more women involved in it than there are men. Every church I know, that is true. Shouldn't be true, but it is. It just seems to work that way, that women are always in charge of those types of things. In 1 Timothy, jumping into the New Testament for a moment, 1 Timothy 2:12, Paul said, "I do not permit women to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet." But we have to remember, when we see that verse, as we talked about even in 1 Corinthians, that Paul was in the business of starting churches in an era and in regions where women had no say whatsoever, where women were complete slaves. Actually, women were less than slaves. Women were considered on the level of cattle, literally. They were possessions. And they were only good for what they could contribute and nothing else. And so in that world, Paul, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, begins to start churches and plant churches, and we discovered that all of a sudden he was giving great honor and respect to women, and that was very different than culture, and that was very counterculture. And so there were times when he said, you know what, there are just some things that we won't address right now, but we will address them later. And certainly the church has done that over the centuries. But in that pagan world where he was at, women were looked on as people, if not even people any longer, and they could just be discarded at will in those cultures in which they were at. And so for a woman to be in place of authority would have really, really killed the chance of many of these churches getting planted. But these guidelines were culturally appropriate, and it's clear that women gained increasing roles within the body of Christ, within the church, in a very short period of time. Remember that it was women who faithfully stayed by Jesus in the darkest hour after all the men had fled. It was women who were the last ones at the cross and the first ones at the tomb that Easter Sunday morning. It was women who were, it was women who were the first to tell the world about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was a woman named Anna who first preached the word about the infant Jesus being the Messiah in the temple when Jesus was born. It was a large group of women who were in the upper room when the Holy Spirit fell on those believers and the church was born. It was a woman named Lydia who was the first Gentile convert during Paul's missionary journey, first missionary journey into the European continent. It was a woman who made up the important part of the leadership of the early church, including the church's prophets and teachers. It was in the Old Testament Hebrew culture where Miriam served alongside her brother Moses leading Israel. It was Deborah who became a judge or sort of in today's world a prime minister of the nation. And it was Huldah who was a prophet. In the New Testament, Philip had four daughters who were prophets who spoke the word of God. It was Priscilla, who was a co-laborer with her husband as they proclaimed and taught in the early church. And it was the church that met in the homes of, are identified by the names of women, including the leaders of that church in Corinth. And in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever ways she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. It's interesting that Phoebe was described as a servant. You realize perhaps that word, that same Greek word for servant that is used elsewhere in context to a man, they're almost never called a servant. Instead, that word is always translated minister. And so Paul is saying, here is a lady who is a minister. Remember that if you joined our church and you went to our new member seminar, which is the only way you can join our church, is to have gone through that. And one of the things that I spend time with you talking about is that here at First Southern, that every member is a minister. Every member is a minister. Whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a teenager, boy or girl, every member is a minister. And that means both men and women alike. Everyone who knows Jesus Christ and is a member here is a minister. We also remember that we all have different ministries. Not everybody has the same ministry. That would be worthless. We need a lot of different ministries. And so those of you who are members here have different ministries, and you accomplish different tasks for the body of Christ. And most of your ministries, a lot of your ministries, are not even in these four walls. You are touching people all over the community, men and women both. So we have different ministries, but we all are equally important. All of those ministries is vitally important. It is so easy to decide that the only ministries that are important are the ministries that take place on this platform. And if it doesn't happen here, it just doesn't matter. It's quite likely that most of the ministries that happen here are some of the least important ministries. Because the ministries that you do touch people outside of these four walls so often. Are the ministries that you do take place in other buildings here on our campus? Over in Kid City right now, there is ministry that is going on so that you can sit here and listen to the sermon. Or so that their parents can sit and listen to the sermon. There are sometimes babies over there who don't necessarily want to keep their diapers clean. But there are some of you who go over and you watch them and you go in and you clean their little bottoms and put fresh diapers on them. There are those who minister in the last couple months, installing several new toilets in our facilities. One man came and was here today, but the other day he said, "Did we just get a new toilet in that bathroom?" He said it was so much better. It's a toilet. But it enhances somebody's life. It says you are important. Everyone is a minister. Women, I want you to understand that Paul is not calling you to be a servant. He calls you to be a minister. And when you're a minister, you willingly serve people. But you are not a servant as in you have no choice. You're not a servant that says you simply have to do this because you're being forced to. You're serving Jesus Christ. So when you are a servant, you're always a servant of Jesus Christ, not a servant of other people. You provide ministry to other people in servanthood to Jesus Christ. And so, ladies, you find value. You should, in the church, in what God allows you to do. In Acts 1, verse 14, it says, "They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." So the people at Jerusalem had gathered around because the followers of Jesus, both men and women, came for that time of prayer when the Holy Spirit came, and they all were given the Holy Spirit. Listen again as he quotes the Old Testament in Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 18. "But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." If Paul was such a chauvinist about women, why does he say in Galatians 3, 20 and 20, 28 and 29, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So in the kingdom of God, there is no distinction between male and female, black or white, poor or rich, educated or unschooled, rather, ordinary or beautiful. They're all children of God, and if our relationship with Him gives value, it is only through Him that we find that value. This week, over the weekend, I was thinking about when I was growing up in church at First Baptist in Lemon Grove, and I remember men who taught me, but I also remember a lot of women who taught me. Not just my mother at home, and she did, but I remember going to Sunday school. I remember going on Sunday night to church. I have vivid recollections of being in some sunbeams. For those of you who are old-time Southern Baptist, you remember sunbeams. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to live for Him each day. We sang that every Sunday night. And I looked so forward to going, and it was always the lady who was teaching us boys and girls about Jesus Christ. We later changed that to church training and discipleship training, but it originally was sunbeams. I remember ladies watching them and being a part of their ministries as they took care of us. And as I grew into a teenager, watching how they deported themselves in the church and the jobs that they did, the things that they did to make sure that ministry happened. I remember Betty Kleinsmith, our pastor's wife, playing the piano, and Brother Bob just always teasing her, making jokes at her, and she just sat and smiled at him and played beautifully on the piano and helped us to worship. I remember Gladys Blaine, who never taught me that I can remember in a classroom, but was involved with our family, was involved in church life, and watching her and the dignity that she had, and so many others. What we do makes a difference. What you do, ladies, makes a difference. We all have roles to play, and a script that we have to live out. And sometimes those roles, God calls us are directed by our gender, and sometimes they're not. But one of the things is sure is that whatever way in which we choose to serve, it has eternal value in the lives of other people. Some of you know the name Pastor Tony Campolo. His wife was a brilliant woman, or she is. I believe she's still alive. She had a PhD. She's capable at producing and pursuing a profitable and rewarding career. But you know what she chose to do? She chose not to do that. She chose to stay in the home, be there with her children when they were young. And that decision seemed to bother other people. It didn't bother her at all, but it bothered other people. And so people would ask, "What do you do?" And she would answer, "I'm a homemaker. I stay home and I take care of my children and my husband." And people would look down on her, even in the church, about that. Even in the church where her husband was the pastor, and they would look embarrassed for her, and they would cut the conversation short when she would say that. And so finally, she decided to come up with a different response. And so over the years, she started saying, instead of I'm a homemaker and I stay home to take care of my children and my husband, she said, I'm socializing two Homo sapiens in Judeo-Christian virtues so that they will appropriate the eschatological values of utopia. What do you do? So whether you are a woman who is teaching the eschatological values of the kingdom, or the occupants of your home are just doing it in the church or in the world, the hand of God is on you. So let's look at the screen for just a moment at a mother's hands.
A mother's hand so soft and strong, a place where weary hearts belong. She lifts us up, she holds us near, a steady voice, a love sincere. She wipes the tears, she calms the storm. She keeps us safe, she keeps us warm. Her beauty shines not just in face, but in her love, her strength, her grace. Her beauty blooms beyond the skin. It shines with love, it glows within. With faith she walks, with grace she stands. A servant's heart, a giver's hands. Like Proverbs tells, she's clothed in light, with wisdom strong, with kindness bright. She plants with love, she waters deep. What she sows, our hearts will keep. So here's to her who lights our days, who loves, who gives in countless ways, a precious gift, a sacred call, a mother's love, the best of all.
Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do, do it in word and deed. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so this morning, we say thank you. Thank you, God, for the women in our church and in our world who faithfully serve you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for these women who are standing or sitting here in this room and who are with us online. And for some who are not able to be here because of health problems right now. Father, we thank you for their ministry in our lives. We thank you for the care that they give. So, Father, we pray now that Jesus would be glorified in decisions that we're going to make. Decisions in how we're going to relate to you as a relational God. And if we don't know you in a relationship that is personal, Father, we pray that we'll come to that point. We pray for anyone in this room or in the sound of this voice who needs that relationship today, that they would trust Jesus to be Savior and Lord. And Father, we pray also that we would have those relationships with people so that we can fully be human as you created us to be. Thank you for those relationships that we have within the home. Father, we pray for those relationships that we find in the world. Pray that everyone in this room would find their value in the world, and especially the women who are here today. As they share your grace and glory in places where it's very seldom known or seen, but that they have access to. And Father, we pray for our body of Christ here at First Southern. Thank you for each woman who's here today, for the difference they make in our lives, in the lives of our community, as they come in contact with each other. So, Father, let us respond appropriately to your word today, for we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. If God's speaking to you, won't you come today? We'd be glad to pray with you.
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.